It's the Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network, wrapping up the 2023 WPIAL baseball playoffs. Six champions crowned, one a repeat champion, Mount Lebanon winning the 6A championship. Shaler wins it all in 5A. Or 5A. Hopewell, a 14th seed, is your Class 4A champion. Seton LaSalle, surprising some by defeating defending champion Sarah Catholic in 2A, and Bishop Canavan is your Class A champion. That leaves only 3A, and your 3A champion is the Riverside Panthers. And how about this? Instead of a coach, and this is no disrespect to the great Dan Oleastro, but for the first time ever, we have a player representing the team of the week, Bo Fornatero. He was this close to being player of the week, and then David Shields had to go and throw a no-hitter in the 6A title game, so that screwed up all the plans. But Bo has been kind enough to represent his coach and his fellow teammates from Riverside, joining us here on the Team of the Week podcast. Bo, we appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us and making a little history as the first player representing his team of the week.
Thank you. I'm honored to be on here as the first player.
Well, there is a lot to talk about with the spectacular season that you and your Panthers have enjoyed here this spring. But, of course, we have to start at the top. Coach Dan Oleastro, he has been doing this longer than a lot of us have been alive. Incredible history. His sixth WPIAL championship, which ties him for the most WPIAL baseball championships won by a coach. Riverside now with six titles. We could go on and on about Coach Oleastro, but you as a player, tell us a little bit. What's it like to play for Coach O?
I love playing for Coach. I mean, he's a fun guy to be around. He tries to make the practices fun. I think he brings the team together pretty well, and a lot of the guys like him. I think he's a great
guy. Now, do you know any relations, like an uncle or anybody who's older but played for him years ago? And if you do they think that not much has changed and how he has coached over all these years and decades?
Yeah, I had a brother who went to high school a couple years ago. And then I had, family friends who went through his coaching. And a lot of the times it seems like he kind of tries to stick to old school baseball, bunt the runners over and then get runners in scoring position, try to get singles and stuff like that. But I think he can adapt with the times as far as, trying to pick up on some of the lingo we say and, try to get in on some conversations with the guys.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We were talking before about how Coach – so many years, this is generations removed from you guys, how he relates to you. And you said that he relates pretty well, but tries to stay away from stuff like your taste in music, right?
Yeah, we just got new speakers up at our field. And whenever the team gets to play the music we want, he tries to tune it out. He doesn't really approve, I'd say.
Yeah. He's not coming all dressed in bling and chains and stuff like that. He's probably got Frank Sinatra on his AM radio as he comes to practice, right?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, a lot of old school outfits, I'd say.
We talked after the game, the victory over Neshanic to give you guys the 3A title. And you said something that was kind of interesting. You guys are the ninth team to win a WPIAL championship with a perfect record, undefeated, now 21-0. And you said it was something that you guys don't talk about a whole lot. Is that something that you do, you guys don't want to talk about it from a superstition standpoint, or is it just something that, you know, doesn't really come up that often?
I'd say it's kind of more of a focus thing than anything. And that is, I mean, last year, whenever we were playing the Neshanic Lancers in the state playoffs last year, I still remember this, and we were practice the day before the game, and we were talking about the state championship, and everybody was getting all excited for the state championship because we swept the Neshanic Lancers, right, during the regular season, and then they ended up beating us. So I think every single time we hear something about talking about the future or more than one game, then a lot of the guys will say, hey, focus on the next game. We need to pay attention to the next game.
Yeah, no, that's smart, right? You got burned once, you don't want to get burned again. And that's a pretty mature look at it from a young team. I mean, I sort of get the fact that a lot of people are talking about how bright your team's future is, because you guys have a lot of underclassmen, including yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I think the coach tries to make everybody more mature than they were starting at the beginning of the season. All the captains had to read a leadership manual throughout the season, and I think that really helps everybody just kind of it helps with team conflicts, it helps with people being mature and stuff like that. So I think even though a lot of our kids are young, we are pretty mature for our age, I'd say.
Yeah, that's well said, because you also told me that the captains got together when you guys were down and sort of pumped the team up. You guys responded, tied the game first, and then had the big fifth inning that put you guys in control.
Yeah, I remember right in front of the dugout, we were talking to Coach Paul and Coach Oleastro, and I think it was Evan Burry that said, we really need to get runs this inning. And then we came and we took the team, got in a little huddle and in the dugout, and we were like, we cannot hit in the bottom of the seventh inning. We do not want to be tied up with the Lancers in the bottom of the seventh. We need to start now. And I think it was just the entire team contributed, I'd say. I mean, whenever the bench is a frenzy, it's easy to go up and do good things at the plate. I think it was just a team effort.
Well, to back up what you just said, I think the first – you let off, correct?
Yeah, I let off the inning.
Yeah, and then you and the four Panthers that followed you – I'm looking for my score sheet. I should have had that out, and I don't have it. Well, here it is. Recreate the inning here. The game was tied. Neshanic had taken the lead. And that's something else, while I look this up, that you mentioned too, is that because of what happened last year, when you guys fell behind 1-0, was that sort of like a wake-up call for you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was mentioned multiple times before the game. We do not want to be sent home like we were last year and have another experience like that. It felt terrible then, and we didn't want it to happen again.
Yeah, scoreless through four. They score on the Andrew Fry RBI single in the top of the fifth. You guys answer with a run in the bottom of the fifth inning. Sam Barber's RBI double. And then the sixth inning, bottom six, tied at one. You lead off with the base hit. And then singles by Hunter Garvin, brother Mitch, Drake Fox, Darren McDade, five straight singles. The Mitch Garvin base hit was a two-run single that put you guys up for good. You got a sac fly from Sean Hayes later in the inning. RBI single by Evan Burry. Very impressive. And as you mentioned, it was a team effort. Everybody really chipped in that five-run sixth inning.
Yeah, I mean, it was everybody wanted to hit that inning. I think that was the most focused inning we've had all year, and it really showed. I mean, everybody was on it.
10 batters batted. You led off with the single. Who made the last out, young man?
I made the last out. I'll admit it.
I'm rubbing it in because that's the only out you made. You were 3 for 4 you had a fantastic championship game. When you get in that situation, big game, what's your approach? Are you pretty focused? Is it easy to focus? Are you nervous going into, you know, a championship game at Wild Things Park? It worked with a fantastic game.
I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty nervous before the game and watching the 1A game. But I think as soon as I stepped on the field, it was just kind of one of those moments where you already put in all the work. It's just time for it to pay off. And I just think the coaches did a great job preparing us. The entire team was prepared, I felt like. And, you just got to stay relaxed, stay calm.
How was the, you're the Panthers center fielder. And one of the things we talked about during your game was the fact of how many balls were sort of misplayed by outfielders, good outfielders. Some of it sun-related, some of it, we were talking about speculating maybe the backdrop that, you know, you guys aren't used to that kind of backdrop in the outfield, you know, the professional stands and everything that goes along with Wild Things Park. Was that an adjustment at all when you first went out to center field?
It was an adjustment. I mean, in our home field, we have an outfielder's eye. It's just a green tarp that goes right behind the batters. And right. It makes it really easy to see. But it just went straight from the back of the catcher to the stands. And that was a little bit of an adjustment.
Because if you got some people in the stands behind home plate wearing white, that makes it's a challenge.
Yeah, no, it was definitely – it was hard to see off the bat, I'd say. I mean, you couldn't really – track the ball until it was above the top of the stadium, I'd say.
Get your thoughts on your two pitchers. Christian Lucarelli started, went 4 2/3. Coach admits he didn't have his best stuff, but he battled, right? He struggled with his control, getting in trouble, but, you know, he used his talents to get out of trouble and really only limit the damage, only giving up one run.
Yeah, I think even with Coach saying that he didn't do that great, not doing great for Christian is still doing incredible. I mean, it was hard to hit. I mean, when you're facing that kind of heat, there's not a ton you can do. Christian's an amazing pitcher. And then, you know, he gave up one run. He had a little bit of problems with control, and his pitch count got up there. But as soon as we put in Hunter, I had complete confidence in Hunter. I had confidence in Christian coming into the game. I thought I didn't think they were really going to hit him much.
Yeah. And to make it clear, Coach Oleastro just said he battled. He struggled a little bit. He didn't have his best stuff, is I think what he said. But like you said, 80% of Christian is – pretty darn good, as we saw yesterday. And he called Hunter the Iceman because he comes in, nothing bothers him. And Hunter really was lights out when he came in.
Yeah, Hunter's one of those guys where you can rely on him. I mean, he's been consistent the entire year. He's got one of the lowest – I think he has the lowest ERA on our team. And I don't think I've ever seen Hunter rattled. It seems like he's always just kind of the same facial expression, no matter what the situation is. We can always rely on Hunter to get us out of a tough situation.
Yeah, that's why they call him the Iceman, right? He's cool as the other side of the pillow, as the great Dan Patrick once said. So work not done, right? I mean, you guys celebrate. It's an awesome accomplishment. But being undefeated after the district playoffs is nice. Being undefeated at the end of the season is a whole lot better. Four rounds in the PIAA playoffs. Round one is coming up Monday. At what point do you stop celebrating and start preparing for the state playoffs?
I mean, today. This is a typical Coach O. We had practice right after school today. we went in there, practiced our bunting, hitting, fielding, everything. I think we need to get on our game now.
Yeah. No, it sounds like it. It sounds like that's his message. Is okay, you got your gold medals. That's great. Now we got more gold to get, and let's get back to work. And you know, part of what you're talking about, all the fundamentals, is a great part of why that program has been so successful and why your team has been so successful. You guys seem like a close bunch. Is that a fair characteristic?
Yeah, I would say that's true. A lot of the guys will hang out outside of school, outside of practice. There's not a lot of conflict within our team. We actually, after the game, we all took a picture. It was our 12U travel ball team, and most of the guys are still on the team. So we've been together for a long time.
Dude, that's awesome. That is awesome stuff. Bo, congratulations on the success of the championship game with your three hits, including the start of the big rally in the sixth inning. Congratulations on your team success, and a great job, young man, on representing your team, perhaps coaching in your future. Is that something you've ever thought about, that you would someday like to coach?
I think I would consider it. I think I wouldn't want to give up the game after I was done playing.
Right. No, down the road. I'm not talking about, you know, soon. Once you're done, you're a well-spoken young man. Give back if assuming you have the time. Now, if you're, you know, president of the United States, you probably don't have time to coach a T-ball team. So, you know, let's see what the future holds. But I'm sure the future, thanks to your mom and the lampshade, is very bright. Bowie, again, I thank you. Good luck to you and the Panthers in the state playoffs.
I really appreciate it. I appreciate all the compliments you just gave me.
All right, bud.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the podcast.
You got it, my man. Good job.
Thank you.
Bo Fornitero, the spokesman for the Riverside Panthers. They are our team of the week, and he did a great job. Again, had a wonderful game, and I'm thinking afterward, hey, you know, this guy right there, front and center, player of the week, told him, you know, I'd contact him. And then, like I said, plans change with Dave Shields throwing a no-hitter for Mount Lebanon. He became our player of the week. Bo kind enough to represent for our team of the week, and we thank him for that. All right, let's get you updated as far as 3A, 2A, and Class A is concerned. If you're worried about 6A, 5A, and 4A, our updates there are on the Player of the Week podcast with, as I just mentioned, Dave Shields. Good game, Riverside, Neshanic. It's sort of like earlier in the season, Neshanic was leading Riverside, and Riverside exploded, I think 10 runs in an inning or whatever, ended up cruising. If nobody saw the score or nobody saw the game and saw 6-1, you'd think, Riverside took care of business again. But this was a very close one. Neshanic leading at 1.1-0, but Riverside comes back with the 6-1 victory, led by Bo's three hits. They had 10 hits total. He was the only Panther to have multiple hits. So it tells you, as he mentioned, really contributions up and down the Panthers lineup. The 2A championship game, which was the first game of the week, goes to Seton LaSalle. The Rebels use a big inning themselves, and that also is in the sixth inning to knock off defending champion Sarah Catholic. Rebels scored two in the third, Eagles a run in the fourth. So 2-1 going into the sixth, Seton LaSalle. Six runs in that sixth inning to go to 8-1. Zach Karp didn't get out of the sixth inning. The starter, outstanding career, one more win and to take over sole possession of second place on most career wins in WPIL pitching history. 5 1/3, 5 runs, all earned, 8 hits, no walks, and 3 strikeouts. Brian Reed, the winner, 5 1/3 for the Rebels starter. Only allowed one run. It was earned, 4 walks, 4 hits, but he struck out 11, including some in key situations, as Seton LaSalle improves to 17-4 with a victory over Sarah Catholic. And finally, Class A, third time in program history, first time since 2000, I believe, the Bishop Canavan is WPIL baseball champs. They've won recent gold in both football and boys and girls basketball. They can add baseball now to that list. Bishop Canavan defeating California by a score of 8-5. Crusaders 2 1/1, 2 1/4, 3 1/5. At that point, they were winning 7-1. Give credit to California. They battled, but too little, too late. They did get the tying run to the plate in the seventh inning, scored twice, but they fall short 8-5 to Bishop Canavan. Tyler Maddox, the winning pitcher for the Crusaders, 6 innings. He allowed 2 earned runs, 3 runs total, 2 earned runs, walked 3, struck out 8, allowed 4 hits. Cole Olszewski, who had a tremendous day at the plate, 3-for-5 with 2 runs scored, made things interesting, but he did end up getting the final 3 outs to ensure a title for Bishop Canavan as they win. As far as the consolations are concerned, going into the state playoffs, in 3A, Avonworth beats East Allegheny by a score of 9-0. Both teams go, and Avonworth will be 3, East Allegheny 4. In Class 2A, it was Burgettstown 5-1 over New Brighton. So Burgettstown heads to the state playoffs. New Brighton is out. And in Class A, Union 4, Rochester 0. Union headed to the state playoffs, and Rochester season is over. All right. Thanks to Bo Fornitero. Thanks to Chris Lackner. I'm Don Rebel. We thank you for joining us here on the Rebel Yell podcast on the Triblive High School Sports Network.